This is the Friday, November 19th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We'll set you up in the next 10 minutes. Of course, it's Mike Clay and I, so we always like to go a little bit longer. But everything you need to know heading into this weekend's slate of games, so be ready.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. Again, Anita Marks, Mike Clay with you each and every Friday heading into Sunday slate. Last week, week 10, we went 19-11. Hoo-ha, baby. That's right. So we are 157 out of 267 on the season, which puts us at 59%. And I'm feeling pretty good about it, Michael.
Yeah, we're off to another good week. We're just picking up momentum as we get more and more information this season. So, yeah, I've been studying the results and learning as well. You know, this is, Anita, this is the first year really in, you know, every year we're getting more and more props. But, you know, we're seeing more and more of this, and it's allowing us to study this and learn from it and just get better at it. So it's a good time right now, and we're seeing the progress throughout the season here.
Also, the fact that we went 19-11 last week, let's be honest, Mike, the last 3 weeks have been difficult for a number of people, right? Full transparency in regard to my picks on our column. I haven't been doing well. There's a lot of games went not, you know, you and I are kind of on the same page a lot of times in regard to game script, right? Like how we see a game playing out. And based on that is, you know, how and why we put money down on prop bets. And a lot of the games the last 3 weeks have not flown the way that we have envisioned them. And so it's a very unique, interesting season. The fact that we went 19-11 last week is really huge for us. So we're excited about it. Let's build off of it. Let's start with the Indianapolis Colts and the Buffalo Bills. Listen, the Colts have to go up to Buffalo to play in pretty frigid conditions. And listen, I know that Carson Wentz, you know, went to North Dakota State. Like, he's used to that. But I think there's a lot of guys when you play in a dome. Also, heading into the season, I want to say the Colts only had one game, and I think this is it, that potentially could have been in 30 or below temperatures. And sure enough, the weather is going to be in that regard. Other than that, they're in a dome or they're playing in like 60 to 70 degree weather the remainder of the season, which I thought was kind of interesting. But nonetheless, this is a Buffalo Bills defense that they're averaging 5 sacks per game, and they're allowing the fewest passing touchdown to opposing quarterbacks. So with that being said, game script, I see Buffalo going up early. I think the Colts are going to be playing catch up. What does that mean? I think Jonathan Taylor is going to have a difficult time rushing the football. So I see them utilizing Hines in the passing game. Now, the prop bet has not come out yet in regard to receptions or receiving yards, but I'm assuming that it's going to come out and will be somewhere between 2.5 to 3.5 or in regard to the receiving yards, somewhere around 20 or 25. And if that is the case, then I'm going to play the over in receptions and receiving yards for Hines this week. Again, thinking game script, Colts are going to be playing from behind late in the game. What's your prop bet in this matchup?
Yeah, and mine aligns with yours, right, with the expectation that the Colts are playing from behind. So I'm under 16.5 carries here for Jonathan Taylor. Now he's averaging 16.1 this season, you know, and this is and that's in, you know, some good game scripts, some bad ones. He's been under 17 carries in 6 of his 10 games. And look, his carries are up lately, but the game scripts have been better. They've been winning games lately. This is going to be a tough one for them against the Bills defense that has allowed the third fewest running back carries this season. In fact, only 2 backs have even gotten to 17 carries, and 4 have gotten to 12. And Anita, of the 4 backs that went over 12 against them, well, 3 of them were in the Bills losses, right? So, you know, assuming you think the Bills are going to lead and win this game, you should be leaning toward the under here for Taylor.
I like it. Baltimore Ravens and the Chicago Bears. So a few prop bets I'm on here. Number one, Justin Fields over 35 and a half rushing yards. Also, Justin Fields over 7.5 rushing attempts, as well as Cole Kmet over receptions. And again, that hasn't hit yet. It's been averaging somewhere around 2, 2.5, 3.5 this season. So if that's what the number is, I'm on the over for a number of reasons. Fields, as we know, is slowly but surely. It's really been, let's be honest, Mike, like beyond Fields, like it's really been cool to watch the maturation process for Justin Fields, as well as we saw Mac Jones last night put on a clinic against the Atlanta Falcons. It's really been cool. So I'm all about Fields. It's exciting to see him develop into the quarterback that I think the Chicago Bears believe that he could become. And he's got a great matchup here against the Ravens. They've allowed 12 touchdowns from outside the red zone. And also, here's really the big key as to what plays into my prop bets, and that is they play a lot of man coverage. And you know this, when you play a lot of man coverage, what happens? Those DBs, their backs are to the quarterback. So I expect Fields, as soon as he sees a DB who's back to him, he's going to tuck the ball and run. So I think we're going to see a lot of rushing yards from Fields in this matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. Again, over 7.5 rushing attempts, over 35.5 rushing yards. And last but not least, in regard to Cole Kmet, another young guy who's really turning into the tight end that I think the Bears were expecting ever since Bill Lazor took over in week 4 and calling the plays. He's really designed a number of plays for Cole Kmet, and 3 straight games now, he's averaging 6 targets. So if that number, that line comes out anywhere between over 2.5 or over 3.5 receptions, I'm on the over for Cole Kmet. What do you have in this matchup?
Yeah, so I just have one here, David Montgomery, over 82.5 scrimmage yards. And this one, this line's been moving up, so you want to jump on it as soon as you can here. He's averaging 87.6 this season. And look, he's been over 82 in eight of his past 12 games, going back to midseason last year when he really broke out in the second half. So, you know, when we last saw him, it was before the body played 85% of the snaps. He's the feature back here in Chicago. And it's not like Baltimore has been shutting down running backs this season, right? So they're kind of mid-pack and yardage allowed. Love this for the clear bell cow here for Chicago.
The Miami Dolphins going up against the Jets. I've got one prop bet in this one. Ever since Malcolm Brown has been inactive, we've seen Myles Gaskin really step into that lead back for the Dolphins. However, the Dolphins, one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. It's really tough. You know, he gets the volume, but he doesn't get a lot of the yardage. And the Jets defense, they're not good. No bueno, Mike, against opposing running backs. They've allowed 20 touchdowns to opposing ball carriers this season. So I'm interested. I'll probably put a little bit of coin on the Myles Gaskin touchdown prop, anytime touchdown prop. But the one that I really like is over 3.5 receptions. The Jets came out this week and said that Joe Flacco is going to be the starting quarterback. And with all due respect to Zach Wilson, I know where the Jets drafted him. Joe Flacco is probably the best quarterback on that roster right now. So I think this game is going to be a lot more competitive than what most people think. And I think the Dolphins are going to be passing the ball, especially in the second half. And Gaskin is really all they have, considering that Malcolm Brown, they have other guys. I know they have Ahmed, who's back there as well, but Gaskin gets really a lot of the volume. So I'm going over 3.5 receptions for Gaskin. What are your plays in this matchup?
Yeah, I think we agree here as well. So Miami is operating the pass heaviest offense in the NFL. If we don't adjust for game script, they've thrown a little over 70% of the time. Even if we do adjust for game script, they're the 4th pass heaviest team. So, you know, we think they'll be competitive in this game. It might be more balanced than usual this season, but still Tua Tagovailoa has been clearing 245 passing yards on average this season. That is his line for this week. And I still think he goes over here. It's the key, obviously, is the defense, right? The Jets have allowed a little over 2,600 passing yards this season. That's second most in the NFL. They also have the second highest YPA, the 4th highest completion rate. They've allowed 259 yards in 7 of their 9 games this season. So including each of the past 6, and Tua has played better than I think people realize. So I like the over for Tua's passing yards. And I also like the over scrimmage yards for Myles Gaskin. So that kind of ties into your over reception prop here. The line is 73.5. It's too low. You know, the Jets are allowing a little over 189 scrimmage yards per game to running backs this season, which is unbelievably high. They've allowed the most rushing yards, the second most receiving yards, the most scrimmage yards, the second highest yards per carry, the fourth highest yards per target to running backs across the board. Atrocious. 10 running backs, Anita, have already gotten to 74 receiving or to 74 scrimmage yards against them this season. And Myles Gaskin, by the way, his past four games, so roughly since Malcolm Brown went on IR, 18.8 touches per game. If he gets that touch total this week, he's going to blow by this number. So love the overs here for Miami.
The Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles have found a rhythm running the football, which has really been a huge reason why they've had so much success the last few weeks. And I'm sure you know that since you're a big Eagles fan, Mike Clay. Mm-hmm. You know, also the Saints have allowed opposing quarterbacks to run the ball this season. I mean, Tyler Heinicke put up 40 yards on them. Daniel Jones put up over 20 as well earlier in the season. So I like Hurts over 47.5 rushing yards. You can get that at minus 115. Also in the passing game for the Saints, the Eagles have just been god awful against opposing tight ends. So Trotman, I like him over 25.5 receiving yards. Also with Trevor Siemian under center, Deontay Harris leads the team in targets. He has 17 with Siemian under center. So I like both Trotman over 25.5 receiving yards, and I like Harris over 37.5 receiving yards as well. What's your prop play here?
Yeah, so you're making me uncomfortable as usual. So many overs. Just so many overs, Anita. But, but I have one as well here. I have to jump in the over fun as well. Trevor Siemian over 1.5 passing touchdowns. We're getting this at nice plus money. It's plus 140 right now. You might be able to even do better than that, so keep an eye out. For sure. But he's thrown two touchdowns in each of his last two games. And the Saints, you know, if you include all of their games this season, they have at least two passing touchdowns in six of their nine games this season. And they're still scoring with Siemian in there, right? There hasn't been really any drop off. They were averaging three touchdowns per game with Winston. They're averaging three touchdowns per game with Siemian under center. The Eagles, you know, they've been pretty good at pass defense this season, but they've still allowed 16 touchdowns through the year. That's 14th most. They've allowed at least two in half of their game. So I think there's a shot that Siemian throws to, and at plus 140, I'm taking that.
If it makes you feel any better, I did have the under with Kyle Pitts in receptions and receiving yards.
Me too. There we go.
If that makes you feel like I do play the unders when it's like, it's so obvious. You and I have talked about this. Like, it's hard for me to play unders because I purposely look for overs because I like rooting for guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'd rather root for guys to do well than root for dudes to do poorly.
Yeah. Look, I hear you. I tweeted earlier today, someone was talking about the same topic. Overs bring, I forget exactly what I said, but overs bring hope. Unders bring anxiety, right? So people love yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And I'm really curious at the end of the season, Mike, when we do our last podcast, I'd love for you to find out, like, you know, what the percentage is of overs and unders that hit the season.
Yep. I've been tracking that. So we can definitely do that.
Yeah. I'm really curious. In regard to the 49ers in Jacksonville, Elijah Mitchell is dealing with a finger injury. Right before we started broadcasting this podcast, recording this podcast, I looked up, he's going to be a game time decision. And I love the way that Kyle Shanahan utilized Deebo Samuel rushing the football last week against the Rams, 6 times for 22 yards. So if Mitchell's limited, from what I understand, Jeff Wilson is going to get the bulk of the volume in the backfield. But I still see them utilizing Samuel. Right now, you can get on this over 5.5 rushing yards for Deebo Samuel. Are you kidding me? And you get that at minus 120. Man, hashtag run, don't walk. Jump on this because – I don't know about you, Mike. I think that total is going to go up if in fact at game time Elijah Mitchell, or you know, an hour and a half before kickoff, Elijah Mitchell is said to be inactive. I don't think that prop bet is going to be that juicy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. I'm a little surprised by that too, based on what we saw last week. But I have one here as well. I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence here at home under 35.5 pass attempts. Look, his season average is a little above this, 36.8, but it's distorted by a couple of games where he attempted over 50 passes. You know, he's been under 36 in six of his nine games, and now he's facing a 49ers defense that, they face the fifth fewest pass attempts on a per-game basis, quarterbacks averaging 31.9 per game against them, and only two quarterbacks this season have reached 36 pass attempts. That was Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford. So loving the under here for Lawrence.
Cincinnati, oh, which, by the way, I love that as well, because I like the over in this Jags 49ers game, by the way. In regard to the Cincinnati Bengals and the Raiders, you know, I've got Higgins. Well, first of all, I got Joe Burrow over 268.5 passing yards. I also have T. Higgins over 60.5 receiving yards. You can get both of those at minus 115. The Bengals are coming off of a bye, refreshed, ready to go. And I love this, and you know this better than most because you've got a phenomenal wide receiver cornerback matchup column that hits on ESPN.com each and every week. The Raiders play the most cover three coverage in their secondary, and Joe Burrow has just been a beast against cover three, averages 75% completion percentage. So I think Burrow goes off against this Raiders pass defense. And last but not least, T. Higgins. I know, you know, Ja'Marr Chase has been getting so much love this season, but T. Higgins, he's been averaging 10 targets a game his last few games. So I've got Higgins over 60.5 receiving yards and Burrow over 268.5 passing yards.
Yep, like it. I have a bunch from this game as well. Joe Burrow, yes, to throw an interception. We're somehow getting this at even money, even though he's thrown at least one pick in 7 of 9 games this season, including 5 in a row. The Raiders pretty good defensively, especially in the perimeter. So I like to think he'll make one mistake. So yes to Burrow. Ja'Marr Chase, under 5.5 receptions, again, at even money. I mean, think about how good he has been. Top 5 fantasy receiver, one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen. From a rookie, and he's averaging 4.9 catches a game. That's under this line. So I'm a little surprised by that. You know, you look at, I mentioned the Raiders defense, only 7 wideouts have even gotten to 6 or more passes caught against them this season. So at even money, definitely leaning under there. The under is usually going to be the sharp play on catches anyway. And then Darren Waller, this may be my favorite bet on the board at the moment, under 71.5 receiving yards. Look, last year, Darren Waller finished 10th in the entire NFL in receiving yards. He had a little over 1,196 yards, right? Big number, 10th best in the league. He averaged 74.5 yards per game. That's what that works out to. That is barely above this line. So I just don't understand it for a guy that's not playing at that level this season. He's at 61.8 per game. If you exclude week one, when he had 19 targets, which is certainly an outlier, it's at 55.6. He's been under 72 in 6 of his past 7 games. And also the Bengals have been pretty good against tight ends this season. So I'm hammering the under here on Waller if I can get it.
Yeah, I love that as well. Ever since, unfortunately, you know, Henry Ruggs is no longer a part of that team, him stretching the field really opened up things for Darren Waller. I think that's a big reason why we've seen him struggle as of late. It doesn't look like DeSean Jackson is fitting that void as well. Green Bay Packers against the Minnesota Vikings. Aaron Jones is out. I love me some A.J. Dillon. Give me over 112.5 rushing and receiving yards. He's got a juicy matchup against the Minnesota Vikings rush defense that ranks 31st in the NFL. And I think Dillon is going to have a monster amount of volume this week, both in the pass and the run. So over 112.5 rushing and receiving yards, and you get that at 110.
Yep, I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers under 2.5 passing touchdowns here. You're going to get some pretty ugly juice on this, but, you know, look, he's thrown at least 2 touchdowns in 7 of 9 games this season, but he's reached 3 only twice, Detroit and Washington. And those are defenses that have really struggled. Minnesota's defense has not. I mean, last year he threw 7 touchdowns in the 2 games against the Vikings, but that was the worst Mike Zimmer defense we've ever seen. It's much better this year. And in previous years, before last year, that random year where Zimmer's defense was bad, he had thrown more than 2 in a game against Minnesota 1 time in his previous 10 games. And then again, this year, Minnesota has bounced back. 13 passing touchdowns allowed. Only 2 quarterbacks have hit 3, Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. So guys like, you know, you think about Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield, they combined for 4 passing touchdowns in their games against Minnesota. So I think this, again, the juice isn't great, but I still think it's a long shot. He gets the 3, so I like the under.
All right, some games that that both of us are on, but not individually. So for one, it's me. It's the Houston Texans going up against the Tennessee Titans. I'm on Foreman here, Deontay Foreman, over carries and over rushing yards. This is a revenge game for him. A lot of people might not know this, Mike, but he was once a part of the Houston Texans. He tore up his knee and then they cut him. Mm-hmm. So, man, he really has been the cream that has risen to the top in regard to that backfield ever since Derrick Henry has gone down. We know how committed the Tennessee Titans are to running the football. And I think because this is a revenge spot for him, I can see them teeing him up big time. That prop bet has not hit the board yet, so keep an eye on it. But I would imagine that it's somewhere around 10.5, 11.5. Who knows, maybe even lower than that. I think he gets the bulk of the carries in the backfield, and this is a Texans team that you could run against as well. So Deontay Foreman over carries and over rushing yards. I know you've got two other games that I am not on, but you are. What are they?
Yeah, actually, I have one in this game. You can get Ryan Tannehill, yes, to throw an interception at plus 170, which is unreal because he has 8 picks this year, including at least 1 in 6 of 10 games. And you might think, well, it's Houston. They're not gonna pick him off. Well, they're 8th in the NFL in interceptions. They have 9 this year. They have at least 1 in 6 of 9 games. So I like that one for sure. Other games here, David Montgomery over scrimmage yards. You know, he's played he played a massive role. When we saw him before the bye, 85% of the snaps. So, you know, he's been, you know, he gets the rock quite a bit. I like the over if he can get that at around 82.5 yards. And a bunch from this Dallas Chiefs game. I think there's a lot that is appealing in this one, flying through them quick. Dak Prescott, we won. Got a little bit of a miracle last week on a scoring correction, but we won the under on passing yards. We're going to do it again at 299.5. The Chiefs are playing better defense as of late. They got beat by some running quarterbacks earlier this year, but trending the right way. So I like the under here for Dak. CeeDee Lamb, very much like Ja'Marr Chase, under 5.5 catches, basically the same prop here. You're just getting worse juice. And the juice, by the way, is going the wrong direction. I did like this more when it was closer to even money. But again, he's averaging 5.2 per game this season. He's been under 6 in 4 of 9 games, but that was with Michael Gallup out. He's back now, and the Chiefs have done a pretty good job against wide receivers this season. They're allowing 11 catches per game to wide receivers. That's it. I mean, if Lamb gets a 6, that's over half of that number. You know, so they've done a nice job there, like the under. Dalton Schultz, his usage has changed a lot. And you know, Michael Gallup's back now, which is part of it. But, you know, his target share when he was lighting it up in fantasy and in the yardage category a couple weeks ago was 29%. It's down to 12% over the past 3 weeks. And so I like the under 43.5 receiving yards. We hit on this last week and he only had 2 targets in that game and had 14 yards. So like that a lot. Again, the Chiefs have been much better against tight ends as of late, including last week. Darren Waller, 24 yards in that game last week. So like that. And one more, again, I'm going with the unders on these big numbers. Travis Kelce under 77.5 receiving yards. Now my projection's close here, but again, the number is just too high. He's been short of 78 yards in 6 of 10 games this season. And that is despite being number 1 in targets, catches, and yards at the tight end position. So again, this is a very high number. Actually Gronk back in week 1, the only tight end to clear this line, actually the only tight end to clear 60 yards against Dallas this season. So I like the under here.
One last one, and just to keep an eye on, and that is Marquise Brown dealing with a thigh injury for the Baltimore Ravens. If he doesn't go, I do like the over with Rashad Bateman in regard to receptions and receiving yards. So again, just a heads up, you know, and that's only if Marquise Brown is inactive heading into week 12. All right. Great job as always, Mike. Love doing this podcast with you. Let's continue to help people win some money. We're 59% on the season. So again, it's been over 10 minutes, I know, but well worth it. So please do us a favor. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow if you, of course, the show. And help us out tremendously. Please let us know how we're doing. We're here with you each and every Friday. So good luck in week 11, and we'll see you next Friday.